The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
So our TV license system is a grotesque failure and the way it's collected needs a rethink. So says Independent Senator, former Taoiseach and Attorney General Michael McDougall, who feels that there needs to be a better and simpler way to subsidise public service broadcasting. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Anton.
Give us a sense of what your concerns are with the manner in which the TV licence is now operated.
Well, the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland commissioned a report which says that RTE is facing an existential financial crisis and that it's going to need more government money. And one of the reasons or the factors which was pointed out by this report, which was published the other day, was that during the pandemic, there had been a slump in commercial advertising revenue and also a slump in TV license income for RTE. And this sort of raises a question. I, 4 years ago, said, you know, if you look at the whole TV license procedure, you know, the idea that people have to go and buy a license for a television, that it, it costs €160. That means that for people who are earning above the lowest rate of tax, you know, you have to earn more than €300 to buy it. That if you go, and this is on the TV license website, if you go on holidays in a mobile home and bring a TV with you, you also have to pay for your TV license for that as well, a separate license, the same whack again, another 160, so that's €320, which would require a gross income of €600 to pay for it. That isn't the fairest way to subsidise the public service broadcasting, in my view. And we have, you know, almost wall-to-wall advertising urging people to take out licences and telling people this is the law in Ireland and all the rest of it. You have inspectors going around the country, theoretically. You have prosecutions in the district court for people who don't have a license or whatever, and you have to collect fines after that.
Can I ask, you mentioned the advertising. What makes, of course, the RTE significantly different in its funding model from our nearest neighbours and the BBC is that the BBC's commercial revenues are non-broadcasting. They're publications, they're magazines, they're sales of content internationally. RTE has that unusual position of receiving state funding and receiving commercial advertising. Do you believe that model should sustain?
Well, I think that when RTE was established, obviously it was gone through at the time and has often been re-examined since, whether you should mix both commercial and license fee income to sustain a public broadcasting service for a national broadcaster. But I think that, well, there are two things I'd say about that, Anton. Number one, that is the status quo. And if we told RTE you can no longer have any commercial advertising, the license fee would jump enormously. So let's remember that. The second thing is that RTE, I don't think they're making a great success of their marketing of their own advertising services. If you look at the Sky package, which I have in Dublin, the amount of Irish directed advertising that's been carried now by the satellite channels is very, very substantial. And yet, if you listen to RTE radio, you get the impression that about 60% of its advertising is either state or semi-state advertising. You know, people telling you not to litter, people telling you to wear safe belts, people telling you about COVID, people telling you about everything from not to tolerate sexual harassment.
Which, of course, RTE will say we that their check's clear. We take the advertising from whence it comes.
Yeah, why is there so much more commercial advertising on the satellite channels? That's the question I asked in the article, and I don't think there's a very simple answer to that. I think it may be a rate card issue from RTE. They may be asking too much.
So what's the alternative to this model of people going around and enforcing the payment of licences on everybody?
Well, what I suggested was that we have a system at the moment that every household in Ireland, and by the way, there are very, very few households that don't have or that won't have online connections in the near future. Since every household in Ireland is paying local property tax, it's an easier mechanism to collect in the money. You don't have to pay a commission to an impost for collecting it. You don't have to have inspectors going around the country trying to work out, is there a TV in this caravan, in a caravan park or not? You don't have to have district court prosecutions. It just happens automatically. And that is the system in several continental countries. So I don't understand why we have this antiquated system. Going back, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you had to have a radio license. And transistor radios and car radios made that ridiculous. But now, virtually every household has in it the capacity to get online material.
Is there an issue with that, though, Michael, in that people will look at the licence fee and see that there is, let's say, 200-ish million that flows into RTE through that licence fee. And it is, to some degree, separate from the state coffers and separate from the exchequer and allows for a degree of independence on the part of the broadcaster. If you have a situation where, putting yourself back around the cabinet table, if you know that every year in a finance bill you get to look and say, how much do we give to RTE? Does that not put you in a position of extraordinary power and influence over the state broadcaster?
Well, it would if it was just paid out of the general pool of taxation. But if you actually said that in the local property tax there is this defined segment of money which is going to go to RTE, then it would be more or less the same. Because, ultimately it's the Oireachtas or the minister who decides whether it's €160 per annum or whatever. So, in one sense you could say that there's an independence issue there. But the Oireachtas doesn't threaten to cut RTE's licence fee to get RTE to toe the political line. And I think he could equally put into a statute that part of the local property tax goes directly to that fund and paid directly across by the revenue commissioners without bringing in the whole risk of government dangling financial incentives or financial punishments in front of RTE to get them to toe the line.
Your own
channel has to follow, the same kind of rules in respect of objectivity and impartiality in public affairs matters as RTE does. And I don't think that, the presence or absence of a radio license to cover news talk really is something which would affect the independence of news talk.
You mentioned how long the license as a thing has been going on since before there were even TVs. To some extent, is the crisis in RTE's funding not pretty much the same? It is a hardy perennial that we have been hearing about for at least 20, if not 30, if not 40 years. Do you believe that it is now any more acute than it has ever been?
I tend to think it is because this report says it is, and they have been attempting some cutbacks in RTE and some salary caps and some voluntary redundancy packages. But I think that as a service, and I'm in favour, by the way, of Lyric. I'm in favour of TG Catter. I'm in favour of Radio Nagata. I'm not a slash and burn person at all. But what I do think is that RTE must ask itself, do they really need to have 2FM? Do they really need to have their second television channel? Do they need to occupy the airwaves to that extent? Would they not do better consolidating around Radio 1 and just RTE Television, one single channel, and really, really pump the money and the resources into a single channel?
Well, I think the argument has always been that there is, if you look at the mandate to inform and to entertain, that part of that requires that you have a demographic spread, and it's quite difficult to reach a demographic spread unless you have an offer that matches it. Can I ask one thing finally, Michael? In terms of the application of the fee, we tend to talk about it as if it goes in its entirety to RTE, but there is a small amount of it, I think about 12 to 18%, that goes to the Broadcasting Authority and is then let out through its Sound and Vision Fund. Is that sufficient? Because other broadcasters can provide public service broadcasting drawing down on that fund. Should that be bigger?
Well, I mean, from your station's perspective, obviously, there's a desire to increase that fund or that share of the fund. But I'm talking about the real issue here is not the finances of News Talk or whether or not you do or do not need access to public service broadcasting subsidies. I think that the real question is whether RTE, in its present state of parlous economic existence, which this report says, you know, it's an existential crisis, which I take to mean it's at a critical stage. If it is at a critical stage, then the question that has to be answered is, are we going to leave the current funding system as it is? And Pat Rabbit, Anton, years ago pointed out that nearly every house in Ireland now had access to some kind of device where they could receive visual images of one kind or another, laptops, phones, you name it, computers and the like. And the real question that we have to ask ourselves is, in that state of affairs, do we insist on keeping what is really an antiquated system of license collection, using on trust as agents and going using inspectors and all the rest of it, the unfairness that you can't even bring your TV, your portable TV, down on holidays with you.
If I remember rightly, I think Pat Rabbit had sort of tiptoed into a possible change in that, and it may have died somewhat on the vine. That is Michael McDowell. Thank you very much, Michael. Michael, of course, independent senator, former Thornish, and attorney general.